Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, September 18th, 2018, episode 14.05, the NFL Week 3 show. People, after 14 seasons doing this show, you'd think that I would know better by now about Week 2 in the NFL, but nope. Still the same craziness in Week 2. I don't want to hear any more about roughing the passer. I don't know what's roughing the passer anymore, and neither do defensive players in the NFL. But I have a rave on Fitzmagic. It's alive and fantastic. I love it. And after 2 weeks, I am 2-0 with my NFL locks of the week. If you're not putting money on these bets, people, you should. And I'm ready to give you my third. Plus, we'll share all our Week 3 picks, and Steve has his first challenge game win. So let's chomp it in. Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves.
Steve, how are you doing, and how do you feel about the first challenge game win?
It feels good, especially since I didn't pick it.
That's true.
You picked the game.
I did. That is what's, and you'll be happy to know that I will continue to have to pick until I win, and then I will relinquish over to you. So I'm very excited about that part, but I have to get a win. You know what I'm also excited about? I no longer have to say a certain phrase in front of the name of the Philadelphia Eagles, and that is why I'm raving on Ryan Fitzpatrick and Fitzmagic today.
Yes, you were very, very excited as we were going back and forth over the weekend.
So it
was over. Your nightmare, not the national nightmare,
yeah,
just your nightmare.
My personal nightmare.
You can sleep at night now. Your wife is happy about that.
I can relax when I'm watching.
You're able to focus at work again. It's working out well for you.
All of that good stuff is coming out of me. I felt, you know what? I was feeling sick up until that win. I know, you know, the fever
broke. The head cleared, yeah.
No more coughs. No more runny nose. I am feeling. Don't I sound good?
You do.
I sound fantastic.
So now we know why you were sick. You were
exactly
sick over your commitment to calling them something.
Yeah.
Up until.
Yeah. Well. So it's just the Eagles now. All right. Let's get right into NFL news. There's a lot to talk about. First off, trade alert. So on Sunday, before the game start, we get this kind of like message that the Cleveland Browns are going to cut Josh Gordon. Apparently something happened over the weekend. They made him inactive for the game, and they're just going to cut him. And I think it was kind of like a ploy to let the other teams know, hey, we got a pretty good wide receiver. We're not going to stick by him anymore. We're not going to tell you what happened, but something happened. And we're just going to say it's a hamstring thing, and he's available because we're going to cut him. And sure enough, they get some calls, and it's always the freaking New England Patriots come in with their stormtroopers. Darth Vader in the lead. I would like to make a trade. That was my Vader. I just need the little... I would like to make a trade. I will give you a 5th-round pick. You will give me Josh Gordon, and you will also give me a 7th-rounder. That's not really fair, but I'm just asking for it, damn it. Give me a 7th-rounder and the wide receiver you no longer want, and I will give you a measly 5th-rounder. That's a pittance.
And of course, they got it.
And they took it. And the Browns, it's just like, I was sitting there when I heard it was the Patriots who were at the forefront. Why is it always them getting over on people? This is what they did to the Oakland Raiders. Vader came to Oakland. I would like Randy Moss. Give me Moss, and I will give you nothing but a bag of footballs. And they got Randy Moss. I mean, this is what the Patriots do. They just somehow always manage to get names, players that have huge upside, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they might be a pain in the butt, and it may not quite work out. And they've had a couple of those, but usually it's a player who the ceiling is really, really high. And now I think Josh Gordon is going to put up a 20-touchdown season a la Randy Moss.
Did you see any of the comments that Brady made over the last couple of days?
No, what did
I can't remember who he was interviewed on, but it was essentially they asked him, so how do you feel about him? Like, well, hopefully he shows up and catches some balls like everybody else who's been working their butt off around here. I mean, it wasn't like I'm really excited to have him. We're going to turn him around. It's like, look, we're going to give him a shot. If he can catch some balls that I throw, good for him. If not, I got five other guys I can throw to.
Isn't that typical Brady?
We're not going to baby you. We're not going to pander to you. You're going to come in and catch the balls. You're not. I don't really care.
Every other quarterback in the league would be like, yeah, man, it's going to be great to have Josh here. We're gonna, you know, hopefully he comes along and learns our system. But it's, you know, he's a pretty good talent. And we're, yeah, whatever. You know, it's you know, hopefully he catches the balls.
And yeah.
Wow. There you go. That's Tom Brady for you. So anyways, a fifth rounder for Josh Gordon and a seventh rounder. The Pats really know how to pull those strings. And Miss Harris, how you like me now? I told you I was taking the Jags. Well, you got anything to say now? She's gonna probably tweet something or Facebook something. But yeah, she gave me a hard time for picking the Jags. I was like, they're at home. They're looking pretty good. The Jags won the game. There you go. That's all. I just had to kind of She always jabs at me, so I got to jab back at. And you too, Nacho. I know you're listening to this. There you go. All right. Now, it's not really a rant, but I have to talk about this situation. If you haven't heard by now, where have you been? Cornerback Vontae Davis quits at halftime of the Buffalo Bills' Los Angeles Chargers. Hey, did you see I said Los Angeles?
You caught it. Very
Los
good.
Los Angeles Chargers game at halftime. Now, they're getting beat down by the Chargers. That first half, Phillip Rivers was on fire. And now here's – I'm going to give you both sides of the story. We hear from the Bills and head coach McDermott. He just said, you know, he was out. He took himself out of the game in the second quarter. He said he was done. They go in for halftime. He doesn't come back out with the team. And he posts on social media that he's retired. And there's players are being interviewed after the game. You know, they wind up losing the game to the San Diego Chargers. It was the final score wasn't as bad as the game might have indicated. It was 31-20. They only lost by 11. But still, you know, at halftime, it was pretty brutal. And you hear he quit at halftime. Didn't finish the game. And then you hear from other players that, yeah, he literally walked in with everybody at halftime. I guess he took off his jersey,
yep.
And emptied his locker. Took everything out of his locker. Like, literally, they came back after the game. There's just hangers in the locker. Threw everything in his car and went home. Now, I do not blame somebody for realizing their career is over and wanting to step away from the game. I do not begrudge anybody that because I know how painful the game is. I don't have a problem with him retiring from the NFL mid-season. But what I do have a problem is retiring at halftime of a game where you're getting beat down. That doesn't look really good, and it's unprofessional. I know you're feeling for your health, but look, you had already pulled yourself from the game. You had already told your coaches, I'm not going back in. I don't feel right. So stay there like a man. Sit down on the sidelines. Cheer your team on at least for the end of the game. And then afterwards, or even better yet, come back in tomorrow, the next day, and say, I'm done playing in the NFL, coach.
Turn in your playbook the next day. Don't leave it in your locker.
Don't sneak away like a thief in the night and leave all of your teammates hanging. They don't know. Everybody's like, yo, where's Vontae? I don't know, man. I ain't seen him. Nobody knew anything until the end of the game when they're told, yeah, he retired at halftime. And then you're going to come to social media, Twitter in this case, and post a statement that says, I meant no disrespect to my teammates and coaches. What are you freaking thinking? This is the biggest disrespectful thing you could do is to leave. This isn't me walking into work tomorrow, going to the biggest presentation I have to make in the entire year, where I'm going to pump up my sales force to go out there and do great, and halfway through the presentation realize I'm not really feeling this no more and just walk out and leave. That would be the exact same thing. It's unprofessional, one. You usually give, in our situation, you usually want to give your employer 2 weeks' notice and then walk away. He did none of that. So I don't care all of these players that are coming to his defense. Well, you don't know what it's like to be a football player and you, all the pressures and the pain and everything. I realize all of that. He has every right to quit because owners have the right to cut players whenever. Players have the right to quit whenever. But don't do it at the halftime of a football game. That is just not professional. And everybody who say that he has the right to do that, then I don't want to work with those people.
And this is going to be nitpicking quite a bit, but I'm not mistaken that picture that he posted on Twitter with a statement, he couldn't even find himself in a Bills uniform.
That's right. That's when he was the picture is him in a Colts uniform.
Like, no disrespect, but I'm not even going to find myself in my current uniform. I'm going to use one from last year.
Don't tell me. And then, you know, it's funny. The one player that I find supporting, because there were a lot of players who were saying a lot of stuff. I think there was somebody who said that they would fight Vontae Davis. I forgot who that was. What player it was? He's here it was. It was Damian Woody on ESPN. Said that he felt so livid and angry after hearing what Vontae Davis did that he would fight the dude. I will fight that guy right now. Now, Arian Foster, who used to be running back for the Houston Texans, basically came out, says he's like, he tweeted back saying, you all keep the same energy for owners who cut players or sit players right before an incentive bonus hits. See if you'd want to fight someone then. Brainwashed. They have you thinking you played for something more than a paycheck. Hop out the matrix. So I guess Aaron thinks we're all in the matrix. No, buddy. There's just something called common professional courtesy. Okay? I don't care what, you know, because Arian Foster went through the same thing. He was hurt a lot, and at the end of his career, he said, you know what, I'm done, and he walked away. He didn't do it in the middle of a football game where they were losing. Would he have done this if they were beating the Chargers 27-0 at halftime?
No, of course not.
Then why do it now when you're getting beat? You understand. He said he felt out there, and I believe him. He was out there. He says, I don't belong out here anymore. I don't feel right. He pulled himself out of the game. Stay. Stay and just ride it out until the end of the game, because they're not putting you back in the football game because you've already told them no. There's absolutely no reason for you to say that I'm quitting right now at halftime and then have the guts to say that I didn't mean to disrespect anybody. Well, that's exactly what you did. You disrespected the entire organization, from the staff, training room, towel guy, all the way up to the owner. And that's all I got to say. Man, that sounded like a rant.
It did. That was dangerously close to a rant.
But, I mean, come on. I was.
Good thing you don't have your watch on telling you just went through a workout.
Yeah, that's. You know, I noticed I took it off because I didn't want it beeping at me and stuff. All right. Hey, for those Eagles that we talked about earlier, just good news. I got some good news for them.
Yeah.
First good news, I don't have to call them the thing. Second good news, they got the quarterback back. Carson Wentz has been cleared. And all signs point to him starting this week against Indy.
Thanks for the rings, Nick. Enjoy. Hold my clipboard. Obviously, there's. Wentz got him there in the first place, so I'm having fun.
He got hurt in week 14, right, against the Rams. So he got him part of the way there.
He got them in a position where Nick was able
to playoffs,
take
and then
it
Nick,
the rest of the way.
But
so,
Nick in the playoffs, you know, took him all the way.
Good, yeah, and he hasn't been. Horrible. The first two games.
And he beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I mean that's something. I mean that's something he could say. But he hasn't looked super fantastic in
the
first 2 weeks.
Well, he hasn't looked horrible either.
I mean,
so it's
he lost to Fitzmagic. I mean, come on.
But it's Fitzmagic. What do you want?
That's true. It is Fitzpagic. I can't.
We'll
wait
get there.
Yeah,
in a minute.
We will get it. All right. So these next two things are Pittsburgh Steelers related. And it, I know it's going to feel like I've been – does it feel like I've been picking on the Pittsburgh Steelers?
A little bit.
Yep. Well, my first two locks did hit. I took Browns plus 5.5 week one. This past week, I took Chiefs plus 5.5. Both teams – well, the Browns tied. They should have won the game, but they tied. And the Chiefs won outright. So I was not crazy in my locks. I did some research there. And now I want to say, if you have ex-PR guys, he's not even the PR guy now. He's their ex-PR guy. He left the team last year. But he tweets about Arian Foster. I got Arian Foster in the brain because his page is still up. Antonio Brown. He's going to tweet about Antonio Brown. He says this: AB needs to thank his lucky stars because he was drafted by a team that had Ben. And Ben got AB paid. You know darn well he wouldn't put up those numbers for other teams. That's what Ryan Scaprino had to say about Antonio Brown, the wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Antonio Brown sees this, and his response was epic. Trade me. Let's find out.
He definitely he could have done a lot more. That just says it all. It's
now Antonio Brown wasn't at practice today, and Mike Tomlin has confirmed that. Nobody knows why. I just think if you're an organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers, you tell your ex-PR guys, stop talking about our players. You're not here anymore. Why are you talking about our players? It's visible. It will get seen. Now you got a wide receiver that's a little upset. Let's talk about Le'Veon Bell. He's still not here. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 0-1-1, mind you. And where's Le'Veon Bell? Getting caught by TMZ on a jet ski in Miami, baby. How's that, huh? I mean, that just chilling on, like, I guess some guy came up to him on another jet ski. He was on a jet ski, like, he's on a jet ski off his yacht, mind you, all right? It's a yacht. Now, I don't know if it's his.
I know exactly what that's like.
Rented. Yeah. But he's on the jet ski right off the yacht he's on. So I'm not going to assume that it's his. But still, it's a freaking yacht. Yeah. And the guy's like, hey, can I video you? And it's sure. She's like, sure. And he's like, hey, here I am with Le'Veon Bell. He's like, pay the beep, 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 man already. And Le'Veon Bell just kind of like, the camera's like, yeah, you know where it's at. You know where it's at. He looks ripped, by the way. Looks like he's in great shape. Maybe that's why he was doing it. But what are you doing in Miami on a jet ski, man?
Well, he clearly isn't playing anytime soon. So,
are we at the point now where Le'Veon Bell, let's just say, like we said last week, week 11?
Give me a reason why he's coming back. I mean, the only way he comes back sooner is if they pay him, and I don't see them paying him.
Because here's the deal. Monday Night Football against Fitzmagic. They could be 0-2-1 come Monday night.
Who's going to blink first?
You can't get in that division, the way Cincinnati's playing, the way the Ravens are playing. You can't get any further down the list. You go to 0-2-1 with the Ravens the following week.
That might be
nothing against James Conner.
He's doing okay. He's doing fine.
He's doing great. But I think that people see the Steelers differently when Le'Veon Bell is in the backfield.
It'll be interesting to see how Bell reacts over the next couple of days. Now that he has a competition for worst teammate of the year with Vontae Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, it was his
competition.
He was running away with his competition up until halftime of
and
the Bills
game. Now we got a two-horse race.
Yep, there's at least a two-horse race, and there are a lot of games to go to add more people to the competition.
Neck and neck right there. Bell and Davis. All right, we're time to move to our Rants and Raves segment. And, Steve, since you've got a bit of a combo, I'm going to let you go first. This is Steve's rave/rant.
It's a tough one. And really, there's going to be probably more rant than rave in here. But if you didn't hear, yesterday there was a letter sent from the executive director of the NFL Players Association and the president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame to Roger Goodell requesting a salary and health benefits for current Hall of Fame members.
Okay.
They believe that the NFL is profiting mightily off of their performances, heroics, you know, likeness, whatever you want to
classic
include
games
in.
Showing the old stuff.
Right. And that they, over this period of time, feel that they should be owed a percentage, not just a flat salary, but a percentage of the NFL's revenues as the, what, titans of NFL over the last 30 years, we'll call it?
Wow. So these are ex-players who have nothing to do with the game, really, except for, you know, their likeness is used, sure, and it's obviously used in the hall because they've got busts in there.
Right.
They still want to get paid from the NFL, even though they're not playing in the NFL anymore?
Paid and health benefits.
And health benefits. Doesn't the Players Association already have health benefits for these players?
Some limited. So it's not they get some benefits out of the Players Association after they are retired.
Okay.
Like, for instance, the pension plan does give them, the last number I have here is in 2014, the average pension payment was about $43,000 a year. So not a lot, especially if you're used to two commas in your income when you were in your 20s. That $43,000 isn't a lot, but you're also not eligible for that until you're 55. So what are you doing from, 30 until 55?
Right.
So there's a big gap there. A lot of the health benefits that I could find that the NFLPA provide to former players are specific conditions. So knee replacements,
yeah,
neurological conditions. But as far as going to get a checkup from your doctor,
it's not really covered.
Yeah, that's not really covered by the NFLPA's health system or benefits.
Jump in here just for a second.
Yep.
I'm just going to give you this year's class of Hall of Famers.
Sure.
Brian Urlacher, Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Ray Lewis, Jerry Kramer, who was your old school one, Brian Dawkins, and Robert Brazil, who was also an old school one. Besides the two old school players that got inducted, I'm pretty sure Dawkins, Lewis, Moss, Owens, and Urlacher were paid plenty of millions of dollars. I guess T.O.'s final contract with the Cowboys was $25 million. Urlacher's was something in the $60 million variety. I can't claim to say Randy Moss, but I know Moss made a boatload of money during his career. And I know Ray Lewis had a fat contract with the Ravens as he left. You mean to tell me these guys can't pay to go to the doctor? Paid like, you know, I know I have insurance, and I'm really appreciative that my copay is only $25, $15, something right in there, between $15 and $25. I'm sure they can handle the $150.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm fairly certain. Well, I mean, if they don't have insurance, it's not going to be $150 copay. It's going to be a lot more. But
I'm sure they got insurance. I'm sure they got insurance of some kind.
I'm sure they could afford the insurance,
yeah,
or go without it. You know, major medical something. Anyway, so the small portion in which I was forming this earlier in the day as a combination rant rave.
Okay, where's the rave part?
The rave part was focusing around the effort to provide benefits and look out for retired players as some of the injuries that we're starting to see come out as healthcare costs are going up, as living
CTE,
expenses are going
all
up,
that stuff.
All these things are getting more expensive than what anybody thought they were going to be 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
And I don't want to make any light of that. That is very good that we're talking about benefits for the players, ex-players of the NFL, who were not the superstars that made the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right. Well, and you threw out there even the CTE, the trauma, the head trauma. I mean, let's not talk about the $540 million settlement fee fund that was put together a year ago. So it's not like the NFL is not ponying up for some of that. Now, that might be under duress. It might be through the legal system that they're forced to pay it.
Correct.
But they're there is money there. It's not like it's suddenly, you know, not there. So my day started with, yeah, I'm gonna rave a little bit about let's do player benefits. But then the more and more I thought about it, the more and more this turned into a rant.
Yeah.
Because the direction you're going with some of these guys, what they made when they were in the NFL, you know, clearly the more recent players had some pretty good money behind them. Sure, some of the guys that played 30 years ago that are Hall of Fame members still alive, their salaries weren't anywhere near what the guys making today are, even right. if you adjust for inflation and all that fun stuff. But these are all the still the guys that pull huge speaking fees because they're in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
These guys go to souvenir shows and get paid a lot of money to sign things or to rep things or whatever it is, so that they're still able to trade off their likeness.
Yeah.
So while I applaud the effort to look for benefits and protect retired players, why are we doing it to this group?
Right. Why the Hall of Famers? Why the Hall of Fame group, a class? And that's a perfectly valid rant there. Because it is good that there's benefits for the players after they leave. And look, it's not like the NFLPA cuts you off once you retire.
Right.
You're done with the league, and if you vested a certain number of years, you're going to get taken care of. So
how many guys are in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, a couple hundred? I mean,
is
there a thousand?
A little more than that. I would say it's starting to push.
Okay. So in 2014, the pension plan for the NFLPA had 12,345 members. Only a little over 2,000 of them were active players. So that means roughly 10,000 of them are retired players.
That's a lot.
And we're talking about 9,
maybe
100, 1,000.
I think it's
Hall
like
of Fame. I mean, we only had like 20 signing.
700, 800. Yeah, right in there. And, well, and that are alive, it's a lot less because we've got Hall of Fame players already that have passed away. So I see where you're going. The percentage that are fighting this is very small.
So the end of my rant is as simple as, I applaud the effort, but I have no respect for the group asking for this.
Yeah.
Now, when you start reading up on it, you know, as we're finding, there are some of these players that are signatories to this letter may not have fully understand exactly what the letter was going to say word for word and are now starting to distance themselves from the letter.
Jerry Rice, one of those, he came out and was like, hey, you know, people are saying that I'm a part of this group. I'm not even a part of whatever board is saying that I was a part of when this letter went out. I think Kurt Warner came out and said the same. He's like, I do applaud the effort, just like you did. Kurt Warner was very clear. He's like, I applaud the effort of, you know, let's get benefits for ex-players, but I wasn't one of them.
Aren't Rice and Warner employees of the NFL Network?
That Warner is. I don't know if Rice is.
It's Warner and one of the other signatories are employees of the NFL Network, which means they are currently employees of the NFL, drawing a salary from the NFL, yet they signed it. One of the other signatories back in the strike crossed the picket line and went and played. So he didn't care enough back then for the benefits, but now he does. This thing is just goofy. It'll be interesting to see if anything more comes of it or if it just in the middle of week three gets buried in the back burner and nothing ever comes of it. But
well, I'm going to go back then to Disney and say that when I worked at Disney, both at Disneyland and at Disney Consumer Products, I helped make Disney what it is today and all of the millions this strong. It needs to give me benefits and partial salary.
And a percentage of Disney's annual revenue.
I would.
I mean,
you know,
very small.
I would
but
take
still.
0.00001.
What the stuff that they round down on usually? Yeah. You want them to round up and give you the difference.
There you go.
And
there you go.
You'd
everything
be
they
very
sell
comfortable.
For
yes.
for $12.95, just make $13 and give me that nickel. I'll be all right.
So yes, anyone out there who happens to be able to write a letter to a former employer, asking for continued salary and ongoing health benefits. If you're successful, we definitely want to hear from you.
We want to hear from you. We want to know what you did. All right. Now, I'm going to make this very quick because
we are already deep into the
is that right?
Yes,
is the timer right?
Okay, so well, you already had one mini rant in there.
Okay. Well, this rave is going to be very light and sweet. I don't know if you saw the post-game press conference with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You mean Conor McGregor?
You go, but Conor McGregor comes out with the big beard. He's got the Hollywood sunglasses. He's got the black jacket on, and he's wearing bling, like four or five change. Now, it turns out, I think he said that it was Deshaun Jackson. Deshaun Jackson is there and is naked, basically. He's in shorts and has nothing on, and he looks over, and he's like, I have to hurry up and finish just two more questions because Deshaun needs his clothes back. So he borrowed Deshaun Jackson's bling and jacket and glasses.
I hadn't heard that part.
And comes out to do this post-game press conference, and he looks like a stud, and he's having so much fun. And my rave is, this is why I love the game. This is why I loved to play it. It was always fun. Now, of course, it's always fun when you're winning. And right now, the guy is playing out of his head, going to New Orleans and winning, beating the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not even gonna. You know what? It actually is gonna. It's gonna help Fitzpatrick's rave right here. Beating the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles
for the final time.
For the final time, and he's having fun doing it. And as last week you said, he's being humble. Which he is. He's coming into these press conferences like, I know what the score is. You don't want to talk about me right now because I'm throwing four touchdown passes and over 400 yards in two consecutive games. And now people are going to start questioning whether Jameis Winston should get his starting job back because I'm playing so well. But you know what? I'm just having fun. And that is what I loved about seeing that
living in the moment. Yep.
Ryan Fitzpatrick was all about the now. Yes, I played fantastic. I'm going to have fun at my own expense. This is making fun. He put on Deshaun Jackson's bling and jacket. I mean, and he looked like Trisha's before I even saw the post-game press conference. Trisha sends me a picture. She's like, is this real? Did he really go to the press conference like that? And it turns out, yes, he did.
Yes, he sure did.
Oh, man. You go, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You do you, man. You keep playing.
Enjoy it every minute you can.
Every minute. As long as somebody wants to give you a check to go out there and throw the rock, you do it and keep playing and having fun just like you're doing right now. That's all the time we got because it is time for week three picks. We got about a half an hour. We're going to try and keep us in check. We're going to move. So let's start right now. Thursday night football. The New York football Jets travel to Cleveland to face the Browns. Steve, what do you got?
All right. So Jets seem to be a little bit better than what we thought they were going to be. Fell off a little last week. Browns offense, we're still trying to figure out where they might be. They're okay, but that defense on the Browns looks pretty stout.
I've been high on the Browns defense from the very beginning, said that team was going to keep them in a lot of football games, and there they were against the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans playing some really good football and took them to the wire. And if it wasn't for a freaking kicker, Steve.
We're not going to get started on kickers this week,
man.
Please.
Just, you know what? Kickers. I mean, all I have to say is, mother that's it. I can't believe you friggin'. It's not working.
Yeah. I'll watch him try to push this button.
There you go.
We got it in.
I mean, beep. Seriously, they're supposed to be 2-0 right now.
They are.
You do know that. I mean, a kick in overtime, yes, granted, it was in the rain against the Steelers. You nail that. You nail an extra point and a kick at the end of regulation. First of all, you tie the game, extra point, you miss it, and then
You're getting sidetracked on kickers.
The Saints go down. They get their kicker to make a field goal. They go up by three. You somehow, with 28 seconds, get back into field goal range. How did that even happen? And your kicker misses, and you lose the game. So had he made his extra point and that kick at the end of the game, they win by one, and they win. They're 2-0. They should be 2-0.
True, yeah. So I think last year, with their 0-16 season, They had a couple games that they were close on. They had a couple games that, against some good competition that they were in there until the end, but they were never able to kind of get over that hump. And that's what we've seen the first 2 weeks.
Yeah,
but this defense looks that much better than it ever had, or not maybe not ever, but it has in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they
so
they
with this game, I don't see the Jets being able to keep up with them. I think the Browns are keeping their first win for home against the Jets in first win in, what, 15
you
months?
You got the Browns. I got the Browns as well. Look, I was wrong on the Jets. I had them winning, I think, 3 or 4 games all year. I think they're going to win a lot more than that.
Yep.
But there's something still about that offense that quite isn't right there. And like I said, this Browns defense is going to get after it. And I think the Browns offense now, I think there's a little weight off their shoulder now.
They know they can run with the big boys.
Yeah, and I think they're going to start finding themselves. That touchdown pass to Callaway at the end of the game to kind of like put them back into it. Tyrod Taylor with that bomb, that was beautiful. I think they'll do enough to finally get the W in this one as well. And Lady Edith, she's on the bandwagon.
Yep.
She's on the bandwagon.
She's been on the bandwagon all year.
All year long. Is this her third pick of the Browns?
This is the third pick of the Browns, yes.
And finally, she will be correct on that. All right, let's go to Sunday early games where the New Orleans Saints travel to Atlanta to face the Falcons. All right, here's my thing with the Atlanta Falcons. I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all. Week one, they had the opportunity to defeat the Eagles, and they let it slip away, mostly because every time they get inside the 10-yard line, it's like they forget to play football. Like Sark and his offensive mind says, I only have 10 yards, and I don't know what to do. All my plays are designed to go 15 or more.
They're designed to go 11 yards. I only have 10.
I don't know what to do. Like, his creativity seems to stop, and it happened again this week against the Carolina Panthers. Fortunately, they were able to overcome it, finally get in the end zone a couple times, and win that football game. But this is a Saints team where they're a dome team as well. They're going into a dome, and they had their kind of like offensive weak performance against Cleveland because the Falcons don't have that kind of a defense. I like the Saints. I think New Orleans go on the road and get a big divisional win.
So I haven't seen the line on this one. I know it's not a lot. I'm pretty sure it's the Saints by 2 or 3.
I don't even think the Saints are favored in this game, but don't quote me on that until I actually see it. Keep going.
But I'm fairly certain the over-under is like 145.
I would stick with the under.
We're going to go with the under on that one.
I'm going to take the under.
That's going to be a lock of the week. Go for the under of 145.
145,
So
yes.
The Falcons have won last 3 out of 4. Including both in the last 2 seasons,
but they've been very close. Yeah,
Both. I don't think the differential has been more than 4 points on any of those. I mean, whatever it is, it's close.
The Falcons are favored by a field goal, which they should be on neutral ground. This is an even game.
Even game, yeah.
Yeah, so they're favored by 3.
I can't disagree with anything you said. I just think the Falcons have the Saints number. It's divisional game. I think they've got their number. I think at home the Falcons pull this one out.
All right, I'm sticking with the Saints, and this may be this week's challenge game. It may.
To be determined.
To be determined. I think there's a couple others that I may have some.
I may have coaxed you into one.
Yeah, I think you did. All right, the Green Bay Packers. Hey, whose team is that? Travels to our nation's capital to face the Washington Redskins.
So our one-legged Aaron Rodgers, I don't think, is going to have a problem here with the Redskins.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm actually going to tell you what my lock for week 3 is. I usually try not to take a favorite as my lock in the week. That means they have to win and they have to cover points. But I will take a one-legged Aaron Rodgers versus a two-legged Alex Smith every day of the week and twice on Sundays. Okay? And this game's being played on a Sunday. I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers. Look, if he could stand there and go toe-to-toe against the Minnesota Vikings, who's one of the best defenses in the league, and come out with a tie, now, albeit, you know.
Yeah, let's not get into it. We're moving on. Okay. We're not talking kickers, and we sure as hell don't want to talk officiating.
Don't get me into ties again. Don't get me into what the freak roughing the passer is. But I think that the Washington Redskins, I think a lot of people were like, oh, man, did you see what they did week one? And then everybody kind of forgot, you know, it's still the Redskins. And they lose to Indianapolis at home. They just lost to the Colts, who are middle-of-the-road team by 11 at home. What do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to do to them?
Yeah, they're going to eat up the Redskins here. So
that is official. I've got the Packers. That is officially my lock of the week. Minus 3 points, the Green Bay Packers. I'd probably even go as high as 4, hopefully not get them early. Minus 3, they'll take care of it because they're certainly going to win by more than a field goal. All right, and Edith?
Edith is in agreement.
She's got the Packers as well. We should mention Lady Edith also has the Falcons.
Yes.
She agrees with you.
Yeah, the fries are joint with the Falcons.
You guys have a mind meld right now? All right. The Indianapolis Colts travel to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, yeah, if you can call that, to face the Philadelphia Eagles. I bet Philly people they listen to this and they're like, what a jerk.
Well, at some point, that question will be, if there are any Philly fans listening, there won't be for much longer.
I know of a
couple. At the rate we're going so far.
I know of a couple. But
this is the challenge with having won the Super Bowl, is that you're going to be the butt of the jokes for the entire next season.
It's they call it the city of brotherly love, but the two times I've been there, I felt no love. Okay.
I felt plenty of love when I was there.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed my time in Philly when I was there a couple months back.
I enjoyed the Philly cheesesteaks. Those were delicious.
Those were delicious.
And are you a Geno's or a...
You know, I can't quite remember because we tested both of them at 3 o'clock in the morning on the same morning.
So on the same time?
So I'm not sure how I got there. Can't tell you how I got back to my hotel. I remember a good friend of mine nearly getting into a fight with the guy behind the counter at Geno's.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Why do I always miss those nights out? All right. I've got the Eagles. Andrew Luck showed me some stuff last week. But I think, you know what? I really want to go with the Colts. I really do. My heartstrings are pulling at the Colts. But I can't do it. Philly's at home. Carson Wentz is back. He's going to be excited to be out in the field. Everybody's going to be like, yeah, we got a quarterback back. Ah, we love it. We love it. You know, maybe T.O. might cry. He's like, that's my quarterback. I love him. That's my quarterback. Whatever. He's back. Carson Wentz. And so that's why I got the Eagles.
Yep, I'm completely in agreement. It might be a little slow start as Wentz gets a little bit more used to live game action.
Yeah.
But I think the first time he takes a hit, which will probably be roughing the passer.
Weren't getting into that.
Yeah, well, okay. We're not going to get too far into it. We're just going to make light of it once in a while.
All right.
Forever. And then he's after he takes that one hit, he'll remember what football is like, and then he'll light it up, and the Colts just aren't going to be able to stick with him. So,
all right.
Unfortunately,
Lady Edith
has some inside information and does believe that Wentz is going to falter a little bit more than we're giving him credit for.
I want to follow her. I want to follow her on this pick. Now, I should mention that, you know, before the game starts, you might get a text saying I am officially changing my pick to the Colts. But for now, I'm on the Eagles.
All right. I'm pretty firmly in the Eagles. I just don't think I'm going to see anything pregame short of Wentz, you know, breaking a finger and Nick just
and
not showing up for some reason.
Quitting it.
quitting at warm-ups.
Quit. You know, I won my Super Bowl ring. I quit.
I'm done.
I don't
feel good. Now that I'm holding the clipboard, I'm too good to hold the clipboard.
So bad, Steven. All right. Eagles, and Colts for the little lady. All right. The Oakland Raiders travel to Miami to face the Dolphins. Now, you are all on an island by yourself. You got Miami, so you have to explain to both Edith and I why you like the Dolphins in this one.
I'm just – both teams, I think, are showing signs of being very good and signs of not being very good.
Yes. Well, like the Raiders leading for the entire game and then losing in the final second.
Yeah, they both teams are – they could swing either way. I think the Dolphins are a little bit more organized. They're at home, and I don't know that Gruden has his team all rowing in the same direction quite yet.
Yes.
So I think there's still just enough dysfunction that the Dolphins can pull this one out at home.
Dissension in the ranks.
In a couple weeks, the Raiders might be all together, and this game would be different.
I think this is the game – the Raiders all start playing on the same page. I think Gruden, there's something in Gruden that will not allow his team to go 0-3.
We talked about this last week. You seem to have some belief that Gruden has some mystical powers to compel his team.
They were almost there last week.
To do the unthinkable.
Look, if it wasn't for a crazy...
He's a good coach. He's clearly been very talented in his prior life. But at the end of the day, it's the guys on the field that are actually getting this done. Yeah, he's going to make some plays. He's going to give some motivational speeches, things like that. But his will for them to win isn't enough.
It's going to be enough because it's the Miami Dolphins, okay? I mean, they took a 20-0 lead on the Jets and still almost lost at the end of the game.
Yeah, but both teams last week fell off. Both teams just kind of got a lead and gave up. So,
well, Lady Edith and I are sticking with the Raiders because they're going to get their first win, and the Dolphins are going to be like what we thought they were and just fall down on pace.
I'm not going to disagree, but I'm sticking with my Dolphins.
All right, the Denver Broncos travel to Baltimore to face the Ravens. Do we agree on a game finally?
I do believe so. At least two of us do.
The Broncos are 2-0, and everybody in Denver can celebrate all they want and be very ecstatic and happy that they're 2-0, but when it takes two fourth-quarter comebacks to win to be 4-0, those type of teams, they don't stick around very long, all right? They needed a fourth-quarter comeback to beat the Seahawks at home. They were at home last week, and they needed a fourth-quarter comeback to beat the Raiders. Now they're going on the road. I'm sorry. The Ravens are going to be angry and how embarrassed they were at the game the following Thursday night against Cincinnati. They're going to get the home win. Plus, they've had 10 days to sit around and rest for this football game. I like Baltimore.
I still think the game's probably going to be closer than what we thought it would have been a couple of weeks ago. But the Ravens are, they're that much better. They're going to come back.
Now, Lady Edith has decided that she has a man crush on Case Keenum, and she's taking the Broncos.
She is, yes.
But she's on her own. She's definitely
on her own on an island. I don't see why she picked it. I mean, a horse over a bird. Come on.
But the Ravens bird of all the birds, the Ravens bird is the creepiest.
It is.
It is the ugliest one. So I'll give her that one. All right, as you pointed out, I skipped one of our early games, the Buffalo Bills. You know why?
Yeah. We're gonna do this really quick. I don't think there's any assessment needed.
Vikings all
across the board. There's not much more to talk here.
No, you know what? I do have to say this one thing.
All right. One.
I am putting the Buffalo Bills on 0-16 watch right now today. Week 2 or week 3, 0-16 watch. I'm going to put the ticker up on the website. 0-16 watch, Buffalo Bills. There you go. We all got the Vikings. Moving on, the Cincinnati Bengals travel to Carolina to face the Panthers.
Here we've got a little dissension in the ranks.
We do. You and Lady Edith agree. Well, I'm on an island this time. That's pretty weird. I usually at least agree with one of you. But no, I'm on an island here. I've got the Carolina Panthers at home. I still have not fully bought into the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think it has something to do with Andy Dalton. Look, on Thursday night, they should have won that game by 50. And mistakes kept letting the Baltimore Ravens back into the football game. You certainly cannot do that on the road, which is where they find themselves here. And Carolina, even though they're not as good as I thought they were going to be this season, they still find ways to be competitive. I think the Cincinnati Bengals will struggle on the road to contain Cam Newton and the Panthers' offense. So I'm taking Carolina.
Yeah, and I think the Bengals have looked fairly good against those Colts. They looked okay against a pretty strong Ravens team, but as you said, they made some mistakes. I think they're the stronger of the two, and I've just got a gut that the Bengals are going to pull this one out.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, you got to have a couple. I mean, you don't have very many road win teams.
Yeah.
So you got to have a couple of them. Right?
Somebody on the road has to win this week, and clearly it's going to be the Packers. But beyond that,
yeah, you know, the Cowboys, they're on the road. All right, so I've got the Panthers. You and Lady Edith are taking the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, we'll move on to the New York Giants as they travel to Texas again to face the Houston Texans. Now, did the Giants just stay in Texas, or did they go back home?
They had to have gone
home. They had to have gone home, right? Yeah. They can't just like be like, you know, let's just stay here in Dallas because we got our butts kicked and we didn't do very well. And
yeah, Eli, let's stay in a really unhappy place. Yeah.
Eli just got sacked 150 times in one game, so let's let him rest his bruised body, and then we'll just make the drive down to Houston and play the Texans.
The good news about this game,
somebody
is going to win.
Somebody
will be 1-2.
Somebody's going to win the football game, the 0-2 Giants and the 0-2 Houston Texans. Now, the Texans have been in their football games.
Watch, they're going to tie.
Oh, my God, I will lose it. If there is one more tie this entire season in the NFL, I'm going to freaking lose it.
If it's this game of all of them.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, I got the Texans at home. I mean, they're at home.
They're at home.
Deshaun Watson's going to figure it out. They're going to.
The Giants are what we thought they were going to be. The Texans are definitely better than the 0-2 we've seen them so far. Texans pull this.
All right. Lady Edith agrees with us. Moving on, the Tennessee Titans travel to Jacksonville to face the Jaguars. Or the Jaguars, as we used to say. The Jaguars, man, how about that big win? That's a big win. That is going to affect the playoffs come January, right? You got the head-to-head win over the New England Patriots, which means that later on down the line, if you guys wind up with the same record, guess who has to come to Jacksonville?
If they're both as good as they appear to be,
yeah,
we're going through Jacksonville.
We're going through Jacksonville. So that is a huge win. I might even say that has got to be Bortles' signature win. Here's what happened to Jacksonville last week. They were without Leonard Fournette, and they decided, you know what, Bortles, you gotta play with the big boys now. We can't just keep turning around and feeding the ball to Leonard Fournette because, you know what, he's not here. And Keenan Cole had a coming out party. That one-handed grab was phenomenal. They looked pretty good. Tennessee's banged up right now. The Titans, I don't have it in the cart. We used to say ship all banged up around here, but we don't have – man, how can I not have all of my carts in there? I'm really mad. Ship all banged up, the Tennessee Titans already. We don't even know what's going on with Marcus Mariota. I like Jacksonville.
I'm with you in Jacksonville. I don't have anything personally to add to that. Lady Edith is, in fact, going with the Titans. I think what she's looking at is that the Titans have won 4 of the last 5.
Yeah, they do play Jags well, but this is a different Jacksonville Jaguar team.
It is, and it's not the same Titans team.
Yeah, exactly. Are you sure you're like making sure you're giving Edith all the information, right?
Well, I mean, she's not going to listen to Dad on everything. So
as a
good daughter, probably should not listening to all the advice Dad is giving.
All right,
but
just making sure.
In this age of new women, she's making her own independent choices.
All right, that's good. Good for her. You go out there with Tennessee because I can leapfrog. You know, I caught her.
You did, yeah.
It was a very disappointing 5-10-1 week for Lady Edith.
Yes, she definitely came down to planet Earth after her
week one
rather surprising week one start made us all a
you
little worried.
You still got by 3 games. I'm not very happy about that right now. I'm not very happy.
You got a lot of weeks to catch me.
That's true. That is true. All right. And I always get better as the season progresses. We both have Jacksonville. Lady Edith has Tennessee. Final early game on Sunday. The San Francisco 49ers head to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. All right.
So Patrick Mahomes is not going to keep up record-setting MVP
80
pace.
Touchdowns.
Yeah.
He is on pace for 80 touchdowns this season.
Should we just put it on the books now or what?
I would. I mean, 4 week 1, 6 week 2, 4 this week, 6 the following week, 5 one week, 5 the next week. It's doable.
So what was the stat that I put up somewhere else?
But we should tell everyone, that's a record. Is the first
it is, yep.
player in the history of the National Football League to throw 10 touchdown passes through the first 2 weeks of the season.
In that same time frame, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton threw a combined 9.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
So Patrick is good. He has had a phenomenal start. I don't see him keeping up the pace.
No, he's not going to keep up the pace, but, man, that is pretty impressive. And the one thing that scares me about Kansas City and should scare everybody in the AFC West and everybody in AFC, they haven't even got Kareem Hunt going yet.
Yeah.
Okay? Kareem, their running back, hasn't even really made a dent. Now, he's contributed in the passing game, but he hasn't really done anything on the ground yet. When they get him going.
It seems these first 2 weeks that defenses have been playing to keep him out of the game, which has allowed Mahomes to light it up.
Okay.
Well, going forward, they're not going to let Patrick do that, which means it's going to open it up for Hunt.
And so once they get him going, they're going to be pretty fierce. I got the Chiefs, obviously, this week. The 49ers got a win against Detroit, but it's looking like Detroit is going to lose a lot of games this season. Yeah. So we can't really – I don't count that win over the Lions all that much. So you've got the Chiefs. I've got the Chiefs. Lady Edith, on the other hand, liked the SF over the KC.
I don't know why. I have no explanation on this one.
They're both kind of reddish. One has an SF. The other one has a KC.
Yeah, it's an arrowhead versus a circle.
The K is her mom's starts with her mom's name.
I don't know. Well, I think the 49ers have an oval logo, like a certain other team, but with different colors. So
yeah,
I'm not entirely sure why she's going 49ers.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me, but you know,
she's going with the
49ers. She's going 49ers.
Only 3 late games on Sunday. We'll start here in Los Angeles, where it's the battle for Los Angeles, as the I have to write LAC versus LAR, the Chargers versus the Rams. That's a mouthful. The Los Angeles Chargers versus the Los Angeles Rams.
A lot of syllables.
Yes. Los Angeles Chargers, Superchargers. It doesn't fit. Just
not working.
San Diego. Los Angeles. I mean, it's the same syllables. It just doesn't mesh.
For next week, I encourage you to come up with a new jingle that nobody's heard of.
Los Angeles Chargers jingle that doesn't have to say Superchargers.
Right.
But it's the Superchargers.
And I expect
it
to still sound like a 60s TV jingle.
Okay, sounds good.
A lot of demands I'm making.
Yeah, you are making a lot of demands. I like the Rams, man. I mean, they were – did it seem to you – I don't know if you were watching the game, but as I was watching the game, it seemed like they were toying with Arizona a little bit. Like, hey, man.
and it's Arizona, so they appear to not be quite there right now.
Be in the game. I mean, they pitched a shutout. It's a shutout, man. I mean, that was just bad. That was bad football for the Arizona Cardinals. I don't know what's happening over there. Maybe it may be start Josh Rosen time. How about that? Josh Rosen time?
Maybe.
Maybe time for that. But I've got the Rams. You've got the Rams. And even little Lady Edith, she picked the Rams as well. I think it's going to be a closer game than most people think. I think it's going to be not as high scoring. Who am I kidding? They're going to go over. I think it's 49. They're going to go
over. Yeah, they're going to go over 49.
They're going to go over the 49. Who am I kidding? It is – It has, yeah. I don't have it here. I thought I did. It's just horrible, Steven. It's horrible game management.
That's all right.
Yeah. 48.5. Yeah, so it's 49. 48.5. Will they get the 49 points?
I think they will.
I think so, too. If the Chargers get the 51 last week with the Buffalo Bills. Now they're playing the Rams. It's going to go over.
I mean, the Rams defense will hurt, but I think we've got enough talent on that Chargers offense that if the Rams start scoring points, they'll be able to keep up for a while.
Around,
so
yeah.
it'll end up going over. If the Rams get off to a slow start for some reason and those points aren't needed, then yeah.
I usually hate 44 and above 44. 44 is usually where I'm like, yeah. Something had to have gone wrong
to get that over that one.
Yeah, so I'm – man, 49, that's a lot of points. But we all have the Rams.
The next late game, the Dallas Cowboys traveling to the Pacific Northwest to face the Seahawks.
So I'm surprised,
on your own, man.
I'm surprised that you're even letting me talk at this point, given my pick here.
You're first. I mean, let's,
you are going to make me justify mine.
I would like to, yeah, because Lady Edith and I, we know what's up. It's Cowboy time. Yeah. Which are you a little concerned that maybe I'm starting to influence her a little bit because she's picked the star all 3 weeks?
She has, yes.
Yeah. No concern yet.
So, no concern quite yet.
Okay.
I mean, I'm fairly certain we will see at some point.
You know what I am buying her for her birthday, though.
Well, it's a good thing that she just turned two a couple weeks ago, and you have to wait a whole another year.
No, it's a belated birthday.
A belated birthday.
Yes, it's a belated birthday present.
Yeah. I'm not sure she – oh, she does have a Packer onesie.
Really?
It's a football print that says Packers on it.
No,
it's
this
funny
is
as hell.
Good. Not a onesie. This will be like a nice little girly cowboy shirt.
Tell you what. If the Cowboys win this one, please go ahead.
Oh,
if the
man,
Seahawks
putting,
pull this one out,
we're putting an extra.
I will forbid you from buying my daughter a Cowboys jersey, at least for this week.
All right. Well, then if that is the case. Well, wait. You still haven't told me why the Seahawks are going to win. Go ahead.
They've won three of the last four.
Okay.
They're definitely not what they were. But I'm not seeing anything great out of Dallas yet. I'm not seeing them pulling their game together enough. The Seahawks defense still looks good enough. We saw Wilson make a comeback against the Bears defense, which is a whole other story.
Threw a pick six and
Yeah, well,
ruined it.
But
because I had Wilson,
he was looking okay, and he was moving against what I think we can all agree is a fairly stout Bears defense at the moment. So I think with the Seahawks at home that the Cowboys are going to have a little bit more of a challenge than we would like to see them have. And sheepishly picking the Seahawks to go up against the Cowboys.
Then I'm going to put some extra incentive on it. And I'm going to take Dallas on the road as the challenge game.
As you should.
Because literally, as I look at the other games that we differ on, the only home team that I have that you have the road team is the Panthers against the Bengals. I certainly don't want to make – I feel strong enough that the Panthers will win the game, but I don't want to make that the challenge game. I like the Saints. I really think they're going to take care of business. But you know what? I mean, if it means that I get to buy Lady Edith a little Cowboy jersey, I'm going to make this the challenge game. I'm going to take Dallas over Seattle. And we'll lock that in right now as a challenge.
Well played.
All right, well played. There you go. Lady Edith and I have the Dallas Cowboys. Steve has the Seahawks and is on his own, and it's the challenge game, and it means that his daughter might be wearing a Cowboys jersey. All right, the Chicago Bears travel to Arizona to face the Cardinals. All right, this is an interesting one because Lady Edith thinks the Cardinals are going to get their first win. She's taking Arizona. Did we tell her how bad the Cardinals are right now?
No, and I don't think she's seen how good that Bears defense has apparently become overnight.
I fear for Sam Bradford.
Yes.
I think that even if Arizona doesn't start Josh Rosen, he's going to get into this game because Bradford may get killed by somebody. How many strip sack fumbles do you think Khalil Mack gets in this game? I'm going to put the over-under at 2.5.
That's – yeah. That might be light. I mean, especially since we're not allowed to hit quarterbacks anymore. The only thing they can do is strip fumbles.
Did you hear what Von Miller said? He's like, I don't even go to hit the quarterback anymore. He's like, when I'm rushing the quarterback, I'm trying to strip the football. I'm trying to go after the football because then I know I can't get penalized if I'm just swatting at the ball.
I'm going to credit one I found off of Twitter, credit Sam Monson.
Okay.
NFL's official guide to sacking the quarterback. Beat your blocker. Send written notice to the quarterback of your intention to take him down. Follow up by a phone call. Only if both are ignored may you gently lay him on the turf, taking care not to stain his uniform, but do not fall on him. And complete in 2.5 seconds.
That may be the way. That may be the way that you're not going to drop him. So I still do not see, because
what the league is saying is that that Clay Matthews hit on the quarterback.
Yeah.
What's his name? Kirk Cousins. That the hit on Cousins.
Not the Bears, the Vikings. You're
the
right.
Vikings.
Cousins,
yeah.
I'm sitting here trying to recall the Bears quarterback, yeah, and it's the Vikings.
The Vikings, Cousins. That the hit on Cousins, they're going to take that video and pass it along to all of the teams as a
textbook.
As a textbook foul.
Right.
That it is a penalty.
Look,
because he scooped the legs up off the ground and tackled him. Even though I didn't see the scooping of the legs, and even though Matthews puts his hand on the ground to make sure he doesn't pull his whole body weight, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. But that is a textbook clear foul.
Right. I get the ref on the field sees something, throws the flag. Not happy about it. I get it. After the game, he backs himself up. Okay. What do you expect him to do in the first 5 minutes after the game? Of course, he's going to say, this is the way I saw it. To have the NFL come out, they could have been silent on it.
Yep.
They could have said, hey, it's under review on how to do this. We're going to review it. But no, they triple down on this garbage, and they are calling it a textbook roughing the passer call. At this point, I don't know what you tell defenses to do with a quarterback.
I don't know.
So Mac is going to get more than 2.5. He's going on the over.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be afraid to touch the damn quarterback,
exactly.
So the only thing you can do is strip him.
Strip the ball. All right, we have the Bears. Lady Edith has the Cardinals. We think the defense will be just too much, and Trubisky is finally going to maybe get it going on the offensive side of the ball. Sunday Night Football, just two more games, people. Sunday Night Football, the New England Patriots travel to Detroit to face the Detroit Lions. Ouch. Is this like – Anakin Skywalker going against Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is like Anakin right before he turns into Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi. And, you know, it's like Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick is it's just going to be crazy.
So I'll go with – so Lady Edith is going with the Lions, which is something that
– She likes The Apprentice.
She does like The Apprentice. I think she's buying into that Matt has some inside knowledge of the Patriots.
Right. Well, I mean,
and I'm not going to disagree that he knows what the Patriots are going to throw at him. The problem is, I don't think he's got the team behind him to actually execute on any game plan he puts on the field. So I don't see why on earth anybody is going against the Patriots in this game.
Not to mention I don't know if I talked about it on this last show, but there's already like some disgruntled players.
Right.
That
we did talk about it last week.
Yeah, he's pushing them, you know, harder than any other team, but they're not getting the results of W's. And so they're like, why are we doing this? I think, look, the Patriots, one, they don't lose back-to-back games very often. Two, as much as Patricia knows about Belichick and the Patriots, Belichick knows just about as much about Patricia and what he's trying to do.
And he sure as hell isn't going to give up any ground in this game.
Yeah,
he's going to go in. This is one where he's going to go in and make a statement.
Yeah, this could be a 50, one of those where like it's like, hey, man, it's 50 to nothing. Why are you still throwing the ball? Yeah, we're going to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you and I have the Patriots.
We are going to prove who the master
Lady
is.
Lady Edith is going to go with the Apprentice. Final game of the week, Monday Night Football. Oh, those Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-mm-mm. And Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic is alive and well. This game is in Tampa Bay. Fitzmagic continues. That Steeler defense hasn't been it. I mean, they let Mahomes throw for 6 touchdown passes. I say Fitz throws for 7. That's what I'm talking about. DeSean Jackson was phenomenal. Evans, O.J. Howard. Now they got the tight end in the mix. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Do you think this is Fitzpatrick's last week?
Not if he wins. If they win this game at home in impressive fashion and he has another 400-plus, 4-touchdown performance like he has in back-to-back weeks, how do you pull him?
I don't know either, but You've got an Eagles situation here where you had a starter and Fitz is the fill-in until our starter gets off.
Yeah, but unlike the starter in Philly, this guy is actually performing at a high level.
Right.
And as much as I like Jameis Winston, he created this mess for himself.
He did, yep. It wasn't an injury.
No.
It was self-inflicted.
It was self-inflicted wound.
So you can still support him, but do you support him the same way you supported Wentz? So I don't see it. So it's just what the Bucs have this week, next week, and then they're on a bye.
Right.
So it's, you know, do you as long as Fitzpatrick performs well.
I say if he goes 300 plus with 3+ TDs in the next two games and you're 4-0, I don't see how you stop that. I don't see how you stop that from continuing. It's going to be interesting. I'm glad I don't have that decision.
Yes,
to make.
Yes.
But I got Fitzmagic in this one.
Yeah, I think he's having enough fun. The weight of the world is off his shoulders.
Yep.
He knows that he can't lose.
Right.
Right. If he lays an egg this week, well, that's Fitzpatrick. We've seen him have great games. We've seen him have bad games. If he wins and he keeps doing what he's been doing,
oh, he comes out naked. For the post game press. That would be epic.
With cheerleader's uniform.
All right, and you know what? Even Lady Edith agrees that there is some Tampa Bay magic there, and she's got the Buccaneers as well. Remember the lock of the week, Green Bay Packers -3. They're going to cover that with ease over the Washington Redskins. Cowboys, Seahawks, not only is it the challenge game, poor Steve may have to endure Lady Edith wearing Cowboy gear if Dallas wins. And that's
go Seahawks,
all.
Go Seahawks.
That's all the time we got for you. Wherever in the world you have been listening, wherever you are, however you're listening, we appreciate it. I'm Stephen Miranda.
I'm Steve Fry.
And you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.